might have given them access to vast quantities of internet traffic, emails, telephone and office conversations, and even official documents stored digitally.
For the latest news and analysis, log on to iHeart.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds us often child abuse results from parental stress or parental substance abuse. Help put an end to this tragedy now. Report what you know to your local authorities. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 482-6783. On the air, because they care.
Our regular guest isn't here, so it's just you and me. If you'd like to call in, give us a call at 877-254-7524. We'll do open lines to begin with. Maybe we get Bill Federer on a little later because he's certainly one of my favorite guests. But this morning I got a letter, an email from my neighbor who I've been trying to convince him, of course, that there is a threat of an EMP attack and that certainly that Iran has nuclear weapons. And he wrote back and he said, how could that be? I mean, if Iran has nuclear weapons, how could you keep that secret? I mean, you keep it secret because the media is rigidly controlled. And we carry a book called The New Media Monopoly, written by a left-wing professor of University of California, spent 30 years studying control of the media, and his book, The New Media Monopoly, we do carry. Of course, he thinks the right-wing controls the media, the left-wing thinks the right-wing controls the media, the right-wing believes the left-wing controls the media, and they're both wrong. It's, of course, it's what I call the invisible government, the Council on Foreign Relations Trilateral Commission, a group, this little group of 5,000 or 6,000 people who largely control the media and mold your mind and shape your ideas and thoughts. But basically, of course, if you want to actually verify the fact that certainly Iran has nuclear weapons, if you go up on the internet and you go to you go to your search engine and type in a 2008 Congressional Commission report on the threat of an EMP attack. 2008 Congressional Commission report, threat of an EMP attack, and go to page 18 of that. report. And now here's a report that was put out after 8 years of research by six or eight PhDs spending millions of dollars to get the information. And yet, of course, you never heard about the report nor what the fact at the bottom of page 18. They talk about how all the evidence is that Iran has illicit nuclear weapons, that you can purchase these things. They've been available for 25 years on the illicit market. In other words, there's a black market out there that deals with nuclear weapons. If you have enough money, you can buy them. And certainly Iran has bought several from the Ukraine and other Russian satellites when they broke up in 1990. Certainly they've been working very closely with North Korea, and North Korea would provide them with it. But basically, they don't want the American people to know that there is this potential. But listen to what the Iranian leaders are saying. And they're saying, you know, if we are attacked by Israel, why we will attack the United States? Because Israel would never dare attack us, certainly without the permission of the United States. And if we attack the United States, they will be destroyed instantaneously. They will be destroyed instantaneously. How could you destroy the United States instantaneously? I mean, we've got hundreds of cities all across America. I mean, they would need dozens of nuclear weapons and dozens of missiles to destroy America instantaneously, unless they're talking about the threat of an EMP attack, electromagnetic pulse attack, and one weapon detonated 300 miles above Omaha, Nebraska, or certainly above Indianapolis, Indiana, would wipe out the entire grid and instantaneously while we would be plunged into darkness. Now, basically, there's a conscious effort on the part of certain people to try to tell the American people. Wednesday evening on NBC, and you really should be watching this, it's a great entertainment, it's a great story, but it's the story of what happens after the electricity is put off in America, because they don't refer to an EMP attack. They don't tell you exactly who's turned off the electricity, but the electricity is off all across America, indeed all across most of the world, and the world has been plunged into darkness, and it's a story of what life would be like and the total breakdown in the structure of society without electricity. And that's exactly what, of course, this Congressional Commission report talks about, the total destruction. And you really should get the report. I mean, you can pull it down off the Internet. It's 180 pages. You can buy it from me, but I have to charge you for it because it's a lot of work to put it together. But you need to go onto the Internet and certainly go to your search engine and type in 2008 Congressional Commission Report, Threat EMP Attack. Read page 18 at the bottom, and they will tell you that evidence is that an enemy could buy a nuclear weapon, a weapon that produced an EMP attack on the illicit market. They've been available for a quarter of a century. Of course, this report came out 5 years ago, and of course, you can go do exactly the same thing. Go into your search engine and type "Iran has nuclear weapon." You'll find an article in the Washington Times in October 2011 saying the same thing. And then I was personally told this by the chief investigator for the Republican Congressional Commission Committee back in about 1994 that Iran had purchased nuclear weapons on the market. Now, on the illicit market, on the black market, if this is true, why doesn't anybody know it? Well, because the media is controlled, ladies and gentlemen. They form our ideas, they shape our thoughts, they provide what the information we believe. And because the media is controlled, you're not going to understand that this is a real, very real threat. And the question is, why is it kept suppressed? Well, all of our reality is suppressed. Basically, they do not want us to be able to think on our own, but this is one reason why I think the threat is really very real, because it's being and has been so effectively suppressed. And that is the fact that America is vulnerable to an EMP attack. Our enemies, both North Korea and Iran and Venezuela, trying to have access to these. They've already practiced defecating. I believe it's not a matter of discipline. Give us a call if you have a question or comment.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! With winter approaching, let's all keep an extra special eye out for our senior citizens. Check on them on a regular basis, especially when the weather is cold. Make sure they have what they need. Someday we'll all be in that position, and wouldn't you like to have someone watch out for you? That's from Brush Housing Authority, reminding listeners for housing programs, call 970-845-5046. That's 970-845-5046. Brush Housing Authority, wishing everyone a great and safe fall and upcoming winter season. Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. It's open lines. Give us a call at 877-254-7524, 877-254-7524. But basically, it was just a week ago in the Wall Street Journal, the editorial on the editorial page was talking about Iran and Israel having to take action against Iran, because Iran certainly was a potential threat to Israel. And Sydney, did Israel want to sit around and wait for them to be attacked by Iran? Or did they want to do a preemptive strike on Iran and take out their potential nuclear sites there? And basically, of course, it would be nice if they could work out a nice peace agreement. But Israel should look very, very carefully at Iran, because Iran getting a nuclear weapon, they could have it within a matter of several weeks. Iran, and they use this phrase, several weeks, Iran could develop nuclear weapons in several weeks, and if Iran had a nuclear weapon, that would threaten the whole world. And if you read between the lines, what the editorial in the Wall Street Journal was doing was suggesting that Iran, that Israel should attack Iran. Well, if Israel attacks Iran, Iran will retaliate against Israel. And they have, I believe, nuclear weapons. They have the missiles to deliver them, but they also have missiles to deliver an attack on the United States. And this is what people don't understand. Basically, Iran has the ability to put a satellite up, and so they could explode a nuclear weapon 300 miles above the center of our country. They have not only satellites, they have missiles. They could put a missile onto a ship, and they've actually done this in the Caspian Sea. They've taken the ships into the Caspian Sea and taken a missile and exploded it up 300 miles. They've actually practiced this. They've actually practiced launching an EMP attack on America. And, of course, the reason you're not hearing about this is because the media is rigidly controlled, and they don't want you to know. They don't want you to be prepared. They are prepared for the elite. They have all sorts of underground facilities for the elite. That's why they bought up all that ammunition. You know, 1.6 billion rounds of hollow point ammunition. Some people say 2 billion rounds. That's why they've gotten all the food together, is because of this danger. And they do have these facilities, Jesse, and of course, fortunately, we do have the internet, so you can check everything I'm saying. But Jesse Ventura has written articles about the underground, massive underground facilities. In fact, he's even taken pictures of them, of massive underground facilities they have for the elite when this whole thing comes down. Sydney Alex Jones has written about this, and you can certainly go to your search engine and check it out. Joel Skousen has written about this, and then our good friend Bob Fletcher has a new DVD coming out covering exactly this. And the fact that is that there are all sorts of underground facilities for the elite where they will be safe when this whole thing comes down. And so the society as we know it would be plunged into darkness, no electricity. Within simply a few days, why people would not have water. In fact, it's really well worthwhile reading this report. I've just about finished reading it now. And, of course, the one thing they stress, a lot of things that have been said really are true about the danger. As far as our cars not running, this would not knock out most cars. It was simply because, the engines would still run on most cars, but the difficulty is, of course, that cars wouldn't have any fuel, and the fuel would be exhausted very shortly. And it sounds like we have a caller. So who's calling in? Who's calling?
Dr. Stan. Now, this is Bill Federer.
William?
Yes, Dr. Stan. Great to be with you.
Good to have you with us. You go right ahead. And this is our good friend, William Federer, and we always love having him. But William, what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, the president declared November Muslim Heritage Month.
Isn't that
to, show appreciation for Islam. And so I thought I would share a few things that we can be appreciative of Islam for. One of them being the Dark Ages. So what are the Dark Ages? Well, those are centuries in history where there was very few things written down. And so historians search through libraries to figure out what happened during these centuries, and they can't find much. And so they say, well, those are the Dark Ages. Well, these are the centuries that, when Islam conquered Egypt. Egypt is where the paper came from. The word papyrus, these reeds that they would dry out and flatten down together, that's where we get the word paper. And when the Muslims conquered Egypt, they obviously cut off the trade of paper with Europe. And so in Europe, they learned how to write on vellum, which is animal skins. And it was very durable, but very expensive. And so they would only have very important documents written on vellum. And common people began to write less and less, because paper being so expensive. And so that is the reason that Europe entered the Dark Ages, was because of Islam. So that's one of the things we can be appreciative of. But also, in a sense, the Renaissance. And what was the Renaissance? Well, that is in the 1400s when the Europeans begin to rediscover Greek things, Greek art, Greek architecture, Greek literature, and the New Testament was written in Greek. But they were all in Greece, right? Greece and Turkey. But then in the 13 and 1400s, the Muslims invade Greece and turned it, part of it, into Turkey. And as the Muslims invaded, they would take the churches and turn them into mosques. They would dig up the bones of the Christian saints and give them to the dogs. And they would destroy the literature. Matter of fact, when Caliph Umar conquered Egypt years earlier in the 600s and 700s, the story is that the largest library in the world was in Alexandria, Egypt, and had things that went all the way back to Abraham's time. And Caliph Umar decided to burn them all. And he said, every book that does not agree with the Quran, destroy it, and every book that does agree with the Quran is redundant because we have the Quran, so destroy them all. And so that was the Egypt's literature being destroyed. But as the Muslims were invading into Greece, the scholars fled west with their documents, and they fled to Florence, Italy, and they brought with them their Greek art, architecture, and literature. And so this began a rediscovery of Greek culture, and so we call that today the Renaissance. And then we're indebted and appreciative of Islam in a way for the Reformation. You think, what's the Reformation? Well, when these Greek scholars fled, they took their Greek New Testaments with them and brought them to Europe. And so now the Europeans would translate the Bible not just back to Latin, but all the way back to Greek, to the original New Testament language. And so this started a new interest in the original writings, and ultimately that led to the Reformation and the translating of the Bible back to Greek. And another thing we can be appreciative of Islam for is Santa Claus. You think, Santa Claus? That's strange. Well, Santa Claus is the Dutch pronunciation of Saint Nicholas. Sant Niklaus, Saint Nicholas. And Saint Nicholas was the most popular Greek saint. He lived during Roman times and was imprisoned under Roman Emperor Diocletian, was let out by Constantine, attended the Council of Nicaea, where they settled the Arian heresy. And tradition is that St. Nicholas slapped Arius across the face for starting the Arian heresy. And then Nicholas was a fiery preacher, and he preached against Diana worship. And it was sort of the cult of the Mediterranean. In Ephesus, nearby, was Las Vegas of the Mediterranean. And Diana was this pagan Greek goddess with multi-breasted little idol that they thought had fallen from heaven. And so they had a temple to Diana where it was filled full of temple prostitutes. It was actually one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, this huge Greek temple with 127 huge pillars and temple prostitutes. And so it was this state-sanctioned immorality. And Nicholas preached against it. And that's when they tore down the local temple to Diana. And then later, during the time of John Chrysostom, they tore down the temple to the one at Ephesus. So St. Nicholas was a fiery preacher, and Nicholas was generous and gave to the poor, but he did it anonymously. So he would go into the city and, dressed where people wouldn't recognize him, and he would leave money for people. And one story was a merchant was bankrupt, and his daughters were going to be taken into slavery, and Nicholas throws some money in the window at nighttime and supposedly lands in a shoe or a stocking that's drying by the fireplace. It provides the dowry, and the daughters can get married, and so they're not taken into slavery. And so the Greeks would give gifts to each other on the anniversary of Nicholas's death, and it went on for centuries, very popular tradition. But then in the year 1087, the Muslims invade into what is today Turkey. And the Muslims would turn the churches into mosques, dig up the bones of the Christian saints, and give them to the dogs. And so in the year 1087, the Greeks and the Italians moved the bones of St. Nicholas from Myra, which is a city in Asia Minor, which is today Turkey. They moved the bones of St. Nicholas over to Italy, a little town on the southeast coast called Bari, B-A-R-I, Bari, Italy. And they still have his bones there to this day, Cathedrale Niccolo de Bari, Cathedral of Nicholas of Bari. But the year 1087, this introduces St. Nicholas to Western Europe. All the gift-giving traditions become very popular and sort of get mixed in with Christmas. And it was the Dutch immigrants that later brought those traditions to New Amsterdam, which became New York. So in a sense, we would not have had a St. Nicholas over here had it not been for the Muslims invading Turkey and trashing the churches and digging up the bones of the saints and giving them to the dogs. So we can be appreciative of Islam for having the Santa Claus traditions. And I just thought it's interesting that our president would declare November, the month to appreciate Islam, and when traditionally November is the Christian Heritage Month to celebrate the pilgrims. And so the pilgrims is an interesting story. Is it okay that I keep going here, Dr. Stan?
You're doing just great. I'm fascinated by what you have to say. You go right ahead with it.
Well, the Muslims had slavery. Muhammad transitioned from a religious leader to a political leader to a military leader. And Muhammad fought in 66 battles. He even used the catapult when he attacked a city called Al-Ta'if. And when he was told the catapult was killing women and children, Muhammad's response was, they are among them, so they got to be killed too. So suicide bombers today say it's okay to kill innocent people to advance Islam because Muhammad did. And since he's the perfect Muslim, they want to be like him religiously, politically, and militarily. So as they conquered, they would kill people, but what do you do with the ones who surrender? Well, you keep some, but you sell the rest. And so it starts the Muslim-Arab slave trade. And the Muslims enslaved over 180 million Africans in the 1400 years of Islam. They had slavery of Africans for 8 centuries before America was ever discovered. And of course, the Spaniards discover America. Christopher Columbus and the Spanish claim it for 100 years. They have a monopoly. And the Spanish enslaved Native Americans. And there was a Spanish governor named Guzman who said that the Native Americans did not have souls, and so it was okay to enslave them. Well, about the same time, Martin Luther started the Reformation. And, of course, I hear the music there.
Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment here at the American Vision Center.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Guardian Roofing reminds listeners that many accidents are the result of drivers on their cell phones. Cell phone usage while driving is quickly becoming a serious problem on our roadways. Whether you're talking or texting, cell phone use is a major distraction. Do your part to keep our streets safe. That important reminder is brought to you by Jeff Holland, the family and staff at Guardian Roofing at 443 Weber Court in Erie. So phone 303-828-4236 for Guardian Roofing. They're on the air because they care. If you own a firearm, it's important to have proper training. Or if you're considering purchasing a firearm for self-defense, it's important to know the right person to train with. Josh at D&M TAC is a federally licensed firearms dealer, certified NRA instructor with a great firearms training course. Want more confidence with the operation of your firearm or to increase your precision and advance your level of training? This is the place. The hands-on in-depth classroom curriculum includes 4 hours of extensive range practice and basic firearms training, malfunction training, self-defense mindset, concealment training, and more, all at the greatest value in the gun training industry. If you want to learn proper firearm skills the right way, the first time, and want to surpass your current skill level, Josh at D&M TAC has the firearms training course for you. This course also qualifies you to apply for concealed carry permit and for advanced training. Beginner or advanced, tactical or defense, call 720-323-2534. That's 720-323-2534 and ask Josh about your KHNC listener discount.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, I guess this morning, William Federer. And before we go on, William, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, get to your website, and get a list of the books that you've published.
Well, thank you. My website is AmericanMinute.com, AmericanMinute.com. And I send out a free daily email called The American Minute. And then the book that I did on Islam is titled What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran, A History of Islam in the United States. And also did two DVD series. One is called Islamic Conquest, Past and Present. And then another DVD series called Political Islam's War on the West. And again, AmericanMinute.com.
As is going on today, ladies and gentlemen, everything is being done to disillusion you with America, and with good reason. It's because, of course, our leaders have a different agenda and an intense hatred of America. I love this country. Unfortunately, it's been taken over by wicked people. We need to take America back. And let me recommend William Federer's books on the background, the history of America, and the forces aligned against it, which dominate Washington, D.C. today. William, go ahead with your story about, certainly about this, the Muslim influence and how it is undermining, doing everything they can to undermine Christian civilization, exactly as Barack Hussein Obama is doing today. Go ahead.
Well, President Barack Obama decided to declare November Muslim Heritage Appreciation Month. And so, in anticipation of appreciating the Muslim heritage, the pilgrims had an experience with Islam. So here we have slavery. I mentioned how the Muslims had slavery of Africans for eight centuries before America was ever discovered. The Spanish claimed America, and for a century they had a monopoly on the New World. The Spanish had a governor, Guzman, who said that the natives did not have souls, so it was okay to enslave them. And there was a Spanish priest named Bartolome de las Casas. And around the same time that Martin Luther, who was an Augustinian priest, had his revelation that the just shall live by faith, Bartolome de las Casas was in a church, and he said I heard a sermon on I was a voice crying in the wilderness, and he said that the Lord touched his heart to be an apostle to the Indians. And so he spends his entire life trying to get the Spanish to stop enslaving the Native Americans. And Bartolome de las Casas finally gets the king to sign a law to stop the enslavement of Indians. And so these greedy Spanish landowners decide, where can we get slaves? Well, the Muslim slave market. And so that's when they begin to buy slaves from the Muslim slave markets and bring them over to America. Now, I trace two threads through history, greed and the gospel. So you always have people motivated by the gospel. And those are the Bartolome de las Casas. Those are the missionaries that have orphanages and medical clinics and dig wells and, give free medicine and Mother Teresa types, take people out of the gutters and give them a bath and say, I serve because I love Jesus. So you always have people motivated by the gospel, but you always have people motivated by greed. And they are the ones who, Judas sold Jesus into the Pharisees for 30 pieces of silver, but you have people that sell people into slavery for money and take land from the Indians. And also vote for candidates they think will help their pocketbook, even though they stand for immorality and abortion and changing the definition of marriage. And so we have these two threads that continue today. But nevertheless, back to our story. So when the Spanish were no longer able to enslave the Native Americans, they purchased Africans from the Muslim slave markets. Now, the Muslim slave markets went on even until fairly recently. In the 1800s, David Livingston, he was the Scottish missionary to the Congo, and he would write about being in a jungle and stumbling across an Arab slave trader who would have 1,000 Africans tied together, marching single file through the jungle 500 miles to the coast to sell them into Muslim slavery. And if they walked too slow, they would get bayoneted or shot and left to die. He said you could tell where the Arab Muslim slave trails were by looking at the vultures circling in the sky. And he tells the story in his journals of stumbling upon one of these trails and seeing a woman who was recently shot and bleeding to death on the side of the trail. And he asked someone what happened, and they said she was purchased by a Muslim slave trader, and she was walking too slow, and he got frustrated at her and shot her. Someone gave David Livingston a paddle boat so he could go through Lake Malawi and up some of the rivers, and it kept breaking down because it kept hitting the dead bodies that were floating in the water that the Muslims had thrown in. And so this Arab slave trade was not outlawed in Yemen until 1980. It still continues, just not legally, but culturally. And so there's more slavery today than at any other time in world history, and a lot of it takes place in Muslim countries. And sex trafficking and, the eunuchs and all this kind of thing. But in Niger and Mauritania and Sudan. Well, anyway, back to the story, the Muslim slave trade. So we're appreciative that every African-American that came to the New World, that came to America, was purchased at a Muslim slave market. So we're appreciative. If there was not a Muslim slave market, there would be no African-Americans in America today. So another thing, that when President Obama decided to declare November Muslim Heritage Appreciation Month, but we're still talking about the pilgrims, because traditionally November was the Christian Heritage Month of remembering the pilgrims. And so as the Muslims enslaved in Africa and enslaved other areas around the world, they began to have pirate ships that raided in the Mediterranean, and they captured tens of thousands, actually over a million, Europeans from Greek islands, from Italian coasts, from Spain or Portugal that they held for 700 years. And they even took an entire Irish village around 1630. They came up at nighttime, killed a bunch, rounded up the whole rest of the town, took them to Morocco, and sold them into slavery. It's called the Stolen Village of Baltimore, Ireland. Only two ever made it back. There's a book written just on that called The Stolen Village. And then they raided Iceland, Reykjavik, Iceland. They carried away 400 into slavery around the year 1635. But in 1620, the pilgrims found Massachusetts, Cape Cod, Plymouth Rock, and in 1625, the little pilgrim community saved up 800 pounds of beaver skins. That's a lot of beaver skins. And they put them into a couple ships, and they're sailing back across the Atlantic, and they're in the English Channel when a Turkish man of war captures one of the ships, takes it to Morocco, and sells the crew into slavery. And matter of fact, in the year 1625...
Hold the thought, William. We'll be back in a moment with William Federer. Giving you the background, the history, the things you're never going to get through the regular media. Be right back.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Are you ready for a natural disaster, a downturn in the economy, or inflation? Prepare yourself. Come to the Self-Reliance Expo at the National Western Complex this Friday and Saturday, October 4th and 5th. Learn about food and water storage, emergency power, shelters, and precious metals. Hands-on training like marksmanship, suturing classes, emergency shelters, backyard farming, and so much more. Activities for the whole family. Come to the Self-Reliance Expo at the National Western Complex this Friday and Saturday, October 4th and 5th. Tickets and schedules available at selfrelianceexpo.com.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
During these trying times, our troops need our help more than ever. Right now, blood supplies are at an all-time low. Just one pint of blood can help save the life of a serviceman. So give the gift of life, give blood. It's simple and it saves lives. That's courtesy of Beach Consulting Service, where service is based on the importance they place in satisfying their customers with quality and integrity. Beach Consulting Service provides full service support for commercial and residential customers. Contact them in Fort Collins at 970-226-6478.
Well, Dr. Stan Makarik has been pointing William Federer. The last segment of our program. William, you go right ahead.
So we're talking about President Obama declared November Muslim Heritage Appreciation Month. And so we're talking about this heritage. And used to be November was the Pilgrim Month to celebrate our Christian heritage. Well, the Pilgrims had one of their ships captured by the Muslims in 1625 and taken to Morocco and sold into slavery. In that year, 1625, over 1,000 English were captured by Muslim pirates from coasts, from little islands, and from, you know, catching fishing boats. And the Sultan in Morocco was Moulay Ismail, and he had over 25,000 captured Europeans build him this big palace at Mequinez, and Sultan Moulay Ismail had over 500 wives that he had captured, and they bore him a record 1,042 children. And matter of fact, he was so brutal that he would go out in the day with an extra change of clothes, and he would target practice on his African slaves. And he'd hack them to death, and when the blood would spill on his garments, he would change clothes. Someone gave him a nice dagger that was taken from a Portuguese ship that they had captured, and when they presented it to him, he tried it out on one of his African slaves to see how well it worked, and just murdered him on the spot. And so this was the Muslim Sultan in Morocco at the same time that the Pilgrims were founding Massachusetts. And so anyway, we can go through this history and see the many things that can trace our heritage to. And then, of course, the Europeans decided that rather than go through these Catholic orders of Trinitarians and Moruthans to try to ransom back your friend who was captured by the Muslims, these orders went on for centuries, and the head of the order was called the ransomer, and they would collect alms and donations and go under a white flag to North Africa to get your friend back. When Thomas Jefferson, when we broke from Britain, the Muslims said that America is its own country, and so it needs to pay its own extortion payment. And so the countries of Europe, Sweden, England, France, Spain would pay millions of dollars equivalent a year to these Muslim pirates. And when America broke from Britain, the Muslims say if America is a new country, it needs to pay its own tribute. They began to capture American ships, stick our crews in the dungeons, and that's when Thomas Jefferson had to go to France to borrow 80,000 guilders from the Dutch and to go to North Africa to ransom back our men. It took him a year and a half. to get out 300 men who were in the Muslim prisons. There was the one Captain O'Brien, and Jefferson writes about how he must think that I've abandoned him. But he said, but I didn't want to correspond with him because if the Muslims saw that he was getting a lot of letters from, you know, the U.S. American ambassador, they would think that he's pretty important, and they would up the price that they were demanding for his ransom, and the Americans couldn't afford it, and so they would cause his imprisonment to be perpetual. So I, therefore, I couldn't correspond with him, but let him know that I've been continually trying to get his, you know, freedom and his men's freedom. And he, of course, he was corresponding with John Adams and George Washington and all the different people in America, and trying to settle on the price, you know. And sure enough, Washington approved us ransoming the men, and at we were paying during the time of Washington, Adams, and beginning of Jefferson, 20% of our federal budget to these Muslim pirates to ransom our men. And when Jefferson becomes president, he swears in. The very next day, he gets a demand from the Pasha of Tripoli, you know, their ruler, that America needs to cough up $250,000, otherwise he will declare war. And Jefferson writes that his, his demands were so, impious, or, you know, the, arrogant. He said that they could be met only with one response. I send a squadron to the Mediterranean to patrol the coasts to defend our American interests. So Jefferson's response was, instead of putting the money into bribery and extortion payments, that we would put that same money into building ships. And so this was the impetus for our Navy getting stronger. And so we were patrolling the coasts, and then a brand new ship called the Philadelphia. I mean, this was cutting edge technology, very fast, and it runs aground on an uncharted sandbar, and they couldn't get free. The Muslims surrounded, and they imprisoned 300 of the Americans. And finally, James Madison is the president. He sends in our Marines again under Stephen Decatur. We're able to defeat the Muslims. And, but that's where we get the Marine anthem, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. And so we're appreciative to the Muslims, on the month of November for, the song that the Marines have, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. And, this is the first war after our revolution. And, we force the Muslims to surrender. The Muslim Pasha, their Dey, their ruler, said, draw up your treaty at your pleasure and we will sign it. But be assured, as soon as you sail out of the harbor, your treaty is waste paper. And as soon as we get strong enough, we're going to attack you again. And Stephen Decatur, who was our young captain that courageously fought the Muslims, he said the Algerians were believed to be masters of duplicity, willing to make agreements and break them when they found convenient. And so it's this concept of hudna that Muhammad had, where when you are weak, you make treaties until you get strong enough to disregard them. And Marines that landed and fought the Muslims, their commander had them make wide leather belt type things that would go around their necks, very hardened leather, and they would wear it around their necks because the Muslims would try to slice off their heads. And so the Marines got nicknamed Leathernecks. So we're appreciative of them for the term Leatherneck.
Well, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us, William. We'll look forward to having you on the program. God bless. Talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
If you own a firearm, it's important to have proper training. Or if you're considering purchasing a firearm for self-defense, it's important to know the right person to train with. Josh at D&M TAC is a federally licensed firearms dealer, certified NRA instructor with a great firearms training course. Want more confidence with the operation of your firearm or to increase your precision and advance your level of training? This is the place. The hands-on in-depth classroom curriculum includes 4 hours of extensive range practice and basic firearms training, malfunction training, self-defense mindset, concealment training, and more, all at the greatest value in the gun training industry. If you want to learn proper firearm skills the right way, the first time, and want to surpass your current skill level, Josh at D&M TAC has the firearms training course for you. This course also qualifies you to apply for concealed carry permit and for advanced training. Beginner or advanced, tactical or defense, call 720-323-2534. That's 720-323-2534 and ask Josh about your KHNC listener discount.
Well, Dr. Stan here, and if there's really a threat from the PMP attack, why aren't we hearing about it? Why aren't the media warning us and getting us prepared? And that's simply because the media in America is tightly and rigidly controlled, and the fact that this information is being actively suppressed makes me feel that there's a very real danger from this taking place. And you could just wake up tomorrow morning and there wouldn't be any electricity. You need to get our 4-CD set or a DVD on the threat of an EMP attack. You need to get certainly our book we carry called A Nation Forsaken by Michael Maloof, who was 30 years with the Defense Department, now writes for WorldNet Daily. And then, of course, you can certainly go to the Internet and pull down the 2008 Congressional Commission report, and we'll provide you with it, but we have to pull it down, and we have to charge you for it. The 2008 Congressional Commission report on the threat of an EMP attack, you need to read it, page 18, where it says, everything suggests that Iran has these illicit weapons, talking about nuclear weapons to be used for this. And the fact you're not going to hear this through regular channels is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. And my fear is God is going to bring his judgment on America, because we are a post-Christian nation. Our leaders have turned against God, and the church has not spoken out. We are the majority. The Christians are the majority. But unfortunately, our leadership is not leading us in the correct direction. And look and see what's happening, certainly, what's happening to marriage, what's happening to our youth. 40% of our children are born out of wedlock today. This is sort of the signs we've turned against God. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to get copies. You need to help us get it out. Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. Read our newsletters. Listen to our radio programs. Watch our DVDs. Help us get the information out. That's your job. I do what I do 5 hours a day, trying to sound the warning across America and in the areas where we're heard. I do believe that there is an increased awareness of what's going on. But you need to help us get information out to encourage people to listen, to watch. And, of course, we do need your financial support, because it's an expensive proposition, maintaining a radio network across America. And doing the programs in the afternoon and the evening, 5 hours a day, we do talk radio.
and Sydney. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com. And then we, of course, ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, because when this country doesn't turn back to God, God is going to abandon this country and terrible things are going to happen. We ask you to pray for our leaders, our ministers, but please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection, because we are on the front lines of a spiritual battle for the survival.